Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel, where it is time once again for Second Watch, this time following the Alabama Crimson Tide's harrowing 42-16 win over the South Florida Bulls Saturday night at Saban Field at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Got to get it right from here on out. A lot to talk about on the latest installment of the program. Want to remind you, if you haven't as of yet, go ahead and hit that subscribe button for the channel for us, if you don't mind. Hit that notification bell while you're at it. That way you are notified whenever new content drops here on the channel. Also, if you wouldn't mind, how about a thumbs up? A like would help us out tremendously as well. But the Crimson Tide moves to 2-0. Had another challenge from USF on its hands deep into the fourth quarter. And what we'll do, as we typically do here on the show, we'll go through some of the highlights, some of the lowlights, some of the good, some of the bad, and some of the, well, from Saturday night anyway, downright ugly. And what we'll do is we'll start with the opening kickoff. And there's Connor Talty once again handling kickoff duties. This time it's a little bit different because USF, at least initially, seemed game for returning kicks. Wasn't the case really with Western Kentucky last week. We like to go through these kickoffs and returns and special teams units, see if we can pick up some of the personnel. Hey, you got to recognize these guys. There's one right there. How about Q Robinson, the veteran, man? Does not sleep on the teams. There's Dre Kirkpatrick Jr., the true freshman. There's Keon Sab. There's Quay Rousseau, a starter. There is King Mack, the transfer from Penn State. Do a nice job right there of limiting that return. And here you go, South Florida on offense to open the game. You know they're going to go with those wide splits with the wide receivers. Alex Golish, of course, with that tie to Josh Heupel, head coach at the University of Tennessee. So some Tennessee prep in some ways. I would say that when you're talking about Byron Brown, you're not talking about quite the passer that Nico Iamaelava is for the Tennessee Vols. But again, conceptually, in a lot of ways, with an emphasis more so on the ground game, you were able to get a jump on that, and certainly where the tempo is involved as well. So Brown on a 3rd and 10 here early in the first quarter. You're running a little bit of a game up top with your 4-man pass rush, and you've got some big guys still out there. It's interesting because 3rd and 10, you've got 3 DLs and an edge out there in your 4-man pass rush. And so Brown is able to initially break contain pretty easily there with Tim Keenan in pursuit. Jihad Campbell had dropped into coverage on 3rd and long, does a pretty good job of trying to redirect or reestablish anyway some type of leverage on the quarterback run. Brown, who is up to about 230 pounds now, impressive athlete, is going to come up just short over on the South Florida sideline. So good enough from Jihad Campbell there. But what you did have on that play was a holding, a defensive issue there, I believe, with Damani Jackson away from the ball is where the flag came from. So fresh set of downs for South Florida. And now it's a 2nd and 8 for Brown and the Bulls. There's those 2x2 receivers with those wide splits. 2nd and 8. Going to give right here to Naquan Wright, the back for South Florida. And you'll see right here in the scrum in the middle, Deontay Lawson goes ahead and hits that gap early. But watch the cutback right here. And this is what Brown and these type of quarterbacks can do to your edge defender and put him in that two-way bind. That's Quay Rousseau, who has to account for Brown running the football, not able to squeeze down maybe as much as you would like. And then when you've got Deontay already up in the A-gap, you got Jihad Campbell down here, almost to the hash. It is an easy cutback. Here comes Malachi as that sort of single high safety, able to make the tackle there, but it is still an explosive play on 2nd and 8 for Wright. And again, this is a quarterback running back duo that a year ago in Tampa rushed for over 150 combined yards, went over 170 all told on Saturday night in Tuscaloosa this time around. It's one of those Grammaticas. Remember all the Grammaticas, Bill Grammatica, Martin Grammatica, the Grammatica brothers that kicked in the NFL. Well, this is Nico, I believe it is, with a field goal there for South Florida. And boy, Alex Golish is fired up. How about Alex Golish? He's an animated dude, right? A lot of juice, a lot of energy. Well, except for when it's 4th and goal in the fourth quarter and he's down 8. Then he sends the field goal team out there, as we'll see coming up a little bit later. Alabama now going to go on offense. And what you've got here is 12 personnel, two wide receivers to the field. You've got C.J. Dupree down here at the bottom in line with Robbie Oots is sort of that hip guy there. And you look at the quick game early, want to get Ryan Williams involved. Wilkin Formby from the right tackle position gets out in space, gets just enough. Jeremy Bernard up there trying to get a block as well around the 39-yard line. But you got some numbers issues in terms of the potential for anything beyond a 4 or 5 yard pickup, which is fine, maybe more so on first and 10. But second and 10, you're hoping for a little bit more, I'm sure, in this situation. But what's interesting, too, is once again, for a second straight game, you got Rock Montgomery, or you got really not Rock, but a sub in at the center position because Brailsford, like he was a week ago, Parker out there for a brief period against Western Kentucky due to a headgear issue. So Rock Montgomery is in there because Geno Vandermark is getting the start at left guard because Tyler Booker is getting the start at left tackle. So you think about the different pieces again early in the game from really center to left tackle. And you throw it out there to Ryan. Ryan, again, just very impactful before this one was over with. Does a pretty good job. Again, you just didn't really have the numbers. These guys are trying to get out here. You see Rock. You see Jaden Roberts, Geno Vandermark. I don't think for Rock and Vandermark at this point, that's necessarily their game. So it is a limited pickup for Ryan Williams. Picks up about 3.5 there on a 2nd and 10 for the Crimson Tide. So now 2nd and 8. A little bit later in the first quarter, this is 11 personnel. You've got a 3 wide receiver set. This was pretty creative, I thought. And I liked it because I talked about this on 3 predictions here on the channel on Friday. Was thinking that perhaps earlier and maybe with greater frequency, you try to get Jeremy Bernard involved in this game. And that played out to be the case. So you fake a toss one way that you've run. And that's also sort of a quarterback option, as we've seen in the past with Jalen, and you hand it going the other way to Jeremy Bernard. You're blocking as if you're running right, and this is essentially a reverse, a tight reverse to Jeremy Bernard. Oots comes back the other way, gets a kick out. You know that Jeremy in this situation should be able to win against a defensive lineman in terms of getting to the edge. He's able to do that. And on a 2nd and 8, it's an easy touch to Jeremy Bernard for about 12 yards. Right there, I'm sure Emmanuel Henderson is thinking, I wish I'd have got a little bit more of one of those guys. But still, nice pickup, nice play design early to get Bernard going. And it's another Alabama first down. As you'll see once here again, showing one way and just kind of trying to wall it off in terms of pursuing defenders. You don't really need to do it at this point. Oots has got enough of the edge guy. And now you'll see Henderson actually, I think, does a pretty good job right here. See Emmanuel, see E-Man at about the 22. Boy, that could be a block in the back right there, couldn't it? Watch what he does here. Holds up and doesn't burn a successful play for the Alabama offense. Yes, I'm sure he would like to have gotten more on his guy there, but he didn't compound things by blocking in the back after his guy had easily attained the line needed to make for the first down. So Jalen now, after an Alabama penalty, and if we do that on the show this week, and I told you to do it sort of as a drinking game, we might not get you to halftime of this thing. So we won't do that. But here's Jalen more on a straight drop. He's got justice down here to the flat, but what he also has is a what's that, 6-man pass rush? So this is pressure. And really, he's got this defender at about the USF 23 trying to count for basically 3 guys. You got the back in the flat now. You got CJ releasing right here. And then this shoe is Jeremy Bernard, and you got safeties deep. So underneath this, good work by Jalen to recognize it. See the safety back here in the deep middle, and you got all this space because the Bulls did bring pressure. That is the way you like to beat it. Like to have seen more of that on Saturday night, but this time able to do it. And again, Jeremy Bernard early in the game. Good to see him involved because you're absolutely going to need him as this season moves along. So now a 2nd and goal for Alabama. You got a bit of a bunch to the right side of the formation. This is still 11 personnel, because to the top, you've got Justice Haynes. And we saw this last week, remember, when Alabama didn't waste time in the red zone getting Jalen Milroe involved in the run game. It's kind of like that, but instead of pulling both the guards this time, you've got Kendrick Law and Jaden Roberts getting out to the outside in front of Jalen. And then you're still trying to pin down right here with Wilkin Formby at the tackle position. I think that's Jeremy Bernard. You got Emmanuel Henderson down here at the bottom. So Kendrick's going to get the kick out. Jaden's going to get his guy right there. Yeah. Bernard does a good job. And now you're not quite going to reach this guy that's really the last defender. 20 is inside. Jalen's going to be able to account for him with speed. And so Jalen just gives it enough of a wiggle to set it up. And now he's got the corner and he's going to go in for an Alabama touchdown. Once again, a couple more rushing touchdowns for Jalen Milroe in the game. Not all that crazy to think that Jalen Milroe, before this season is over, is able to account in rushing touchdowns for somewhere north of 15. If this is going to be the approach, which I like, and don't waste time with it, because later in the game, we're going to show you a situation where Alabama wasn't as quick maybe to get him involved. And look, it ended up in a turnover that shouldn't have happened. Shouldn't have happened regardless. But to me, the earlier, the better. Look at Jaden right there on two. Yeah, that's not fun. There's better ways to spend a Saturday night than the way two for South Florida just spent that one. Good stuff by Jalen again to maximize that run in winning his own one-on-one right there. Bounces it to the cone, and it is an Alabama lead of 7-3. So a little bit later in the first quarter, Jalen in the gun once again. This is 12 personnel. You got the two tight ends to the top this time. Again, Dupree in line. You've got Oots up there on the hip. And Jalen initially looks as if he wants the quick game outside, but this almost had the feel of a design run, except for one thing. Jam, if it was a design run, he wasn't necessarily in sync with it. This is, some run blocking up here. But you look at Ryan Williams, and he's thinking, get me the football. You see Ryan right there, a little bit exasperated. So, and you watch it back, and it was close to some linemen being downfield if they weren't. So maybe a good thing that Jalen didn't throw it there, and you end up with a 13th penalty maybe in the game instead of 12. So Jalen holds on to the football. Ryan not necessarily happy about it. Quick game. We talked about it. Quick game, screen game. So when you ask, well, where was the quick game? Where were the wide receiver screens? Well, sometimes it's RPO, and they're a part of the call. And then it's on Jalen to make it happen. Sometimes he does, and sometimes he doesn't. So late in the first quarter now, USF on offense from its own 37-yard line. Here comes a slider across the formation post-snap. Brown is going to keep this. And this is where you got a bit of an issue out here on the corner, because, again, this is a 230-pound guy. He's got a blocker in front. Deontay doing his best in pursuit, and then you lose leverage too at the corner with Damani Jackson caught inside here a little bit. He recovers pretty well, but not able to get his head across. And with that, Brown, a big dude, kind of a Hendon Hooker looking dude, a young Hendon Hooker, able to turn this into an explosive play on a 2nd and 10, as that bind that this offense puts you in, man, especially if you're able to get a lead blocker with it, you can be right. And the quarterback can prove you wrong with the pull. And that was the situation right here, as Jackson can't limit this thing before the sticks. There you see Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson in the game, by the way, now at inside linebacker. Unfortunately, we'll show this later too, gets hit with a targeting, but I thought he was really good. I thought he was a bright spot, not just for the Alabama defense, but the football team in general. So here comes Alabama, with USF facing a 1st and 10 from the Crimson Tide 33-yard line. There's those wide splits. You've got a wide receiver down here at the bottom of the screen. It could be the quick game. He's got a blocker out there. But then you're getting some early pressure from Q Robinson. This is a 5-man pass rush. Looks like Deontay was coming there. And Q Robinson, for the second time in as many weeks. Gets home on the quarterback. Always pull for Q, man. Jordan Renaud in there early. Seeing some guys, once again, a lot of rotation for this Alabama defense. It was crazy, even late in the game. 21-16 game, 21-13 game, I for sure recall. Still rotating in guys like Deshaun Jones. And, hey, it's great if you trust them. You just don't want to see busts in a situation where it's a one-score football game in the fourth quarter. But Alabama's problems on Saturday night, and really I thought the defense in general played pretty damn good, especially when you think about red zone and third down. You know, what was USF was 2 of 18 on thirds, 0 for 2 on fourths, 2 for 20 when you combine possession plays like that. You can win a lot of football games doing that. Also forcing 3 red zone field goals. But anyway, Alabama back on offense. This time in 11 personnel, you got Josh Quavis flexed out to the top of the screen. There's Kendrick in motion, giving you a little bit of an indicator maybe in terms of coverage. But here comes the 4-man pass rush. Jalen, again, similar to what we saw earlier. Look at the middle of this field. And I'll tell you a reason why. I didn't really show it at the start of the play. You had Ryan Williams down here at the bottom of the formation, split wide down to the bottom of the screen. And see this guy? You think he saw that film of Western Kentucky at about this same spot on the field? When Ryan just ran past everybody and Jalen threw it over the top for a touchdown. Yeah, I think 13 for USF saw that tape too. And so he's got to give cushion right there. He's kind of looking at his other safeties and DBs, but that's kind of what you got to do with Ryan Williams. Another example, there it is. There's Ryan right there. Watch Ryan. He's going to run that stutter and go to the outside and see 13 still in his back pedal. Because he's got to give some ground there if he's got help over the top to the outside. And with Ryan split that far to the field, that's a lot of grass to cover. And look at all that grass for Jeremy Bernard for the second time in the game. Pretty good ball there from Jalen. You keep things moving. But didn't go so well from there. Look at the down and distance here. Third and 28 now, backed up. At its own 17-yard line, Jam Miller in there at the running back position. Going to protect with 6. Jam right here, he does a pretty good job, but you've already had some issues in terms of edge pressure. And this looks like a case where Jalen's already feeling it, right? And with pretty good reason, because right there, Wilkin Formby, that's not teaching tape for an offensive tackle. And unfortunately for Wilkin, he's in a pretty bad spot. And also, as I said, Jalen at this point, I think, is feeling the pressure. He's feeling the pass rush, you know, which is the equivalent of the defense having another rusher that's affecting your quarterback that's not even on the football field. But I will say this for Jalen, as we'll see coming up too. Jalen makes the adjustment on a couple of plays. He climbs up into the pocket. See right here? He already is sensing, I think, that there's going to be some pressure coming. He kind of moves to his right, which doesn't help him. And now with Wilkin losing the speed there, it's a sack. But again, we'll see some improvement in that regard coming up a little bit later. So USF with the football early in the third quarter, a 2nd and 4 play. This is similar to what we saw earlier when Brown kept with the blocker out in front. Again, it's numbers, man. It's math. And it's a tough situation. If you play 3 down with these 300-pound defensive linemen and you're going to ask them to kind of be the conflict player to help out on the quarterback, you know? And I'm sure the discussion for Kane Womack and the position group he coaches primarily is that our inside linebackers have got to be better on some of this stuff too, as you'll see. 2nd and 8 now. This is going to be straight-up quarterback lead pretty much. See Naquan Wright step up into the hole. This is quarterback run all the way. And you're getting after the quarterback on 2nd and 8. So you've got 3 guys that already have pretty much pushed past the quarterback. And you got an interior offensive lineman here that is taking on Damon Payne. Payne can't quite get there to make the tackle. You got Jefferson accounted for. You've got Campbell accounted for. And you got some guys on the field again. You got some rotation going on. Keanu Coote in there. But that's going to be another first down for USF. Second and goal for the Bulls. And Brown's going to look out here early to the right. Keon Sabbs in good position right here. And Brown's pretty much just a one read and go guy. James Smith getting some hands up in the passing lane. But Brown quickly makes the determination to run here. Here comes Justin Jefferson trying to get up. But again, the strength of Byron Brown was a problem. It was for some inside linebackers. It was for some edge guys. And Malachi eventually gets up there and is able to clean some things up. But this is one of those red zone stops for the Alabama defense. Force the field goal here. You'll take it. And it's a 7-6 game with the Crimson Tide leading. 9:03 left in the first half. Alabama, once again, didn't get too exotic with formations and those kind of things on Saturday night. And maybe some of that had to do with the shuffling on the offensive line, which you could reasonably expect given the changes up front on the offensive line. Maybe some of it has to do with it's just week two. You got a long season to go. You are the fourth-ranked team in the country. There is a healthy respect that needs to be provided to an opponent like South Florida, but you're not going to put it all out there in week two. And I think this is still a team trying to grow in terms of what it can get out of certain guys at certain positions, including the quarterback position, not just the offensive line, not just at maybe some of the skill spots. So Jalen here in second and 10, 9:03 left in the second quarter. You're going to pull. This is good old GT counter right here. See Vandermark come across right here. He's getting a guy forcing that edge pretty quick. South Florida is. And then you'll see Tyler Booker from the left tackle position fill in here. And now Justice is going to make a nice play to go get what he can get on second and 10. And that's essentially 5 yards. So now you're playing third and 5. Motion Bernard across the formation. This is still 11 personnel. We can't see a tight. There's the tight end in line to the top. And Jalen going to take the snap and look at him climb quickly. Remember we talked about earlier, you know, it wasn't really working when he tried to just hit his back foot and stand in there a little bit in the pocket. This time he climbs quickly, helps his protection. Eyes up, dart, CJ Dupree. That is a third down conversion for the Crimson Tide offense. We'll see it once again. This time you see some early pressure coming from the left side there. Tyler has his hands full a little bit, but Jalen recognizes it quickly. You do have Justice swinging out to the flat, but with Jalen climbing up and keeping his eyes up, he's going to be able to make an accurate and timely throw there to CJ Dupree. So it's second and 10 now, about midway through the second quarter. This is 11 personnel once again. This is a pistol look with Jam Miller in the backfield. This is going to be play action off of pistol. Saw some pistol runs. And this is Jalen. He's going to work it out here down the sideline. And he's got Kobe Prentice. Not the most prettiest of off-platform throws, but it got there. Once again, we'll show you. This is a flood concept that is a favorite of Kalen DeBoer. We saw this a lot at Washington. You'll see Ryan Williams right here work deep. You'll see it's almost like a three guys following one another. Then you'll see Kobe kind of follow Ryan. And again, Ryan creating space with that speed. And Ryan had a couple of big catches in the game, no doubt about it. But when you think about what he creates for other people, like Kobe Prentice here, or like on the PIs that he drew against South Florida, you want to man him up, you better be ready to take on some pass interference calls because they're coming. And then Quavis kind of just keeps following. See these guys? 1, 2, 3 down here. And then you got a crosser on top of it. Look at all this space now. Look at this corner carry Ryan Williams down to the other 30. And now look at what you got. With Kobe Prentice, man, that is a hell of an impact by a true freshman and Ryan Williams. Again, credit to Kobe, too. Made a nice adjustment on a ball. It was a little bit underthrown. So, again, this looks like guard tackle counteraction. Vandermark comes across from the left guard position. Tyler behind him. That's just good hard yards. I mean, that's 5-yard run. You'll take that on first and 10, right? You want to see some drive sustaining runs. That's what they kind of look like. And now you've got more 12 personnel. This time you got Danny Lewis in there crossing the formation post snap. This is just pretty much split zone to Jam Miller. You wonder if he stays wide there, but good hard running here inside behind Vandermark and that right tackle. You get Parker Brailsford finishing pretty nicely there. Successful run on first down with the guard tackle counteraction. So third and four now in a 7-6 game with a little less than five minutes left in the second quarter. Jalen with Justice to his right, 2x2. This is, once again, 11 personnel with 3 wide receivers on the field. Here comes pressure from the right side of the Alabama formation. And this could be quick game out here, maybe. It looks like Bernard, though, is running to the corner. Kind of looks like maybe Dupree right here is going to block. Kind of the same thing down up top, too. But Jalen doesn't waste any time. 230 pounds of his own, why not? And just burst through the middle there and is able to get into the end zone for the second time in the game. Give Alabama a 14-6 lead. It's not always going to be pretty, but if you got the better athletes, you want your guys playing fast and decisively. And that's what Jalen was right here. You see the telestrator there, and you see this blitz come off the right side. And if that's Jalen's key there, then he's going to go ahead and try to hit the other side. It's a pretty good job right there by Justice, too, in the hole. See him kind of turn that guy inside just enough. And that's just enough of daylight. And Jalen's strength, you know, runs to a linebacker. Jalen Shuler, the outstanding inside linebacker for South Florida, not able to go on Saturday night. So that was a big absence for the Bulls. 2 minutes left before the half. Alabama backed up with a third and 26. And yeah, I think this was after Jalen's long touchdown run was negated by a hold from Wilkin Formby. And so Jalen right here in a really untenable situation is just going to throw it out to the flat to Josh Cuevas. Going to have to punt the football. That's the end of the half. Could have been a 21-6 game at that point, and it's not, and you're leaving South Florida around more than you certainly would like. And so you start the third quarter, South Florida with the football. This is what I've talked about. This is what I would still do a lot of if I was an opposing offense. I would try to work this perimeter. It's nice that Alabama has guys like 11 and even 15 that can run sideline to sideline, but I would still stress the Alabama perimeter with those corners and that Husky position right there. Jihad doing his best to get there in space, gets a hand on the face mask. So that's going to be a flag. There you see multiple flags. And, of course, this was after the Kendrick Law situation, actually, with the fumble, right? And the kicker for South Florida able to get on the fumble. So kind of a free possession for South Florida. Essentially, South Florida ended up getting the ball to start both halves. Got it to start the game, and then got it early in the third quarter after it looked like Kendrick initially might be headed for the paint. Got the ball out in front of himself a little bit. South Florida guy made a nice play. You got to take care of the football. You can't lose the football in that situation, but it does happen from time to time. Jalen on a 3rd and 6, he wants to throw the football. It's not going to happen here. Looks like more of your interior linemen had a problem than outside. And you can see here, South Florida continuing to bring pressure. Jalen takes the sack way back. And I know a lot of Alabama fans give Jalen grief about that. But trust me, I watch a lot of NFL football, a lot of one team in particular. And it's not exclusive to just Jalen Milroe or college quarterbacks. But South Florida, very aggressive, very well coached on defense, and is able to get home. And so, again, we move it forward here. Or actually, this is our replay. You see right here, you got an inside rusher free. Looks like maybe Jaden's trying to account for that rusher. And we'll show this a little bit later, too, because something similar happens, and you'll see Parker Brailsford later kind of, I think, look at Jaden like, we're not getting this picked up right in the A-gap, because the back, what we'll see coming up here in a little bit, this is almost like a power on a 2nd and 9 for Alabama with Jam Miller in there, as you see Vandermark pull around. And then you've got pretty good space out here. Vandermark's not able to get the cutoff on 24 there, but you're still in pretty good shape. But the problem is, because you don't cut off 24, watch what happens at the end of this. You don't get a helmet on him, and then you're not able to really do enough with this perimeter defender. And ultimately, Jam's got to take care of the football. I mean, he knows that. But watch 24. He's running free. He's getting in there. And then the shoulder on the ball, almost simultaneous. Ball is going to come out in a lot of instances where that happens, the 1-2 like that from defenders. And Jam Miller puts it on the ground. South Florida recovers. And that's 2 quick turnovers to start the 3rd quarter for the Alabama Crimson Tide. And again, there you see it. 24 was there first, but the real blow, or maybe it was even starting to come out before that, but 2 guys for USF really getting after the football there with Jam Miller. Wondered initially if this thing stayed in bounds or if the defender that recovered it had possession and stayed in bounds. Went to the review, looked pretty clear that he had. So again, 2x2 splits for these wide receivers for South Florida. Brown in the gun, little play action, and Alabama is coming on a 1st and 10, right? This 6 guys? Yeah. Getting some push in the pocket. Boy, Tim Keenan started to really pick things up here in the 3rd quarter. But Brown, off of his back foot, is able to hit the crosser, replacing the blitzers, the pressure. So the middle of the field open because Malachi is kind of in a single high look, or maybe they dropped to cover 3, but he's in the middle of the field. And he's there to clean that up. But it is a South Florida 1st down. Alabama in that 3 down front with kind of that random backer, I call it. You know, you see Quay Rousseau, you see Q Robinson. Sometimes I wonder if in the run game especially, this guy doesn't maybe get in the way of Campbell or Lawson. I know it makes it tough to maybe account for him if you're an opposing offensive line, but I don't know what you're getting out of it, especially in a situation like this. You've got Quay Rousseau basically behind your nose tackle, and then you've got your 2 inside backers behind him. He stays between the tackles. Now you've got a 300-pound defensive lineman, you know, that's not going to have success in trying to help you account for the quarterback on the edge. Now Deontay is by himself out there. Brown hits the cut, puts his foot in the ground. And now, again, this is a dude with power. He's not a little guy. So you can hit him at the 6, but he's not going down until about the 2. And so here we are, 1st and goal. And the 2 pace is out of the tube at this point because tempo is happening. Alabama defensively very much on its heels. This time you are going to have Q try to set an edge down here, but you're just going to run basically look like an insert, maybe a fullback or a tight end type that inserted there. And it's a pretty easy touchdown for South Florida. And now Alex Golish going to go for 2. Going to go for 2 and tie this thing up. Wow, did you see the reaction there? That's not looking like a Galette's night there in the student section. Is that a surrender cobra already? Come on now. What about this? Oh, my goodness. The FIMUs are starting to panic a little bit there in that south end zone. But Alabama back on defense, midway through the 3rd quarter, 3rd and 12 for USF. And look at Tim Keenan there. Look at him push. You want to single block Tim Keenan in pass rush situations? He'll just engulf that interior lineman and then also go ahead and finish on the quarterback there. We talked about Tim Keenan's stat line last night on Aftermath. Boy, Daron Payne, Quinnen Williams, anybody you want to put up there, here it is again. Watch Tim work against this right guard. Gives him a little hezzy, hits him with the power, pushes. Easy money for 96. 96 made a little money maybe on Saturday night. So a first and 10 for the Alabama offense. There's that 12 personnel that we saw a lot of Saturday night with the inline tight end and the hip guy and Robbie Oots, wide receivers to both sides. First and 10 play. You're going to run some split zone. I don't think this is duo. No, we saw more duo last year with Tommy Reese. This has been more, I like a face mask right there at the start of that run. But you're working Jam Miller here. It's pretty good by CJ Dupree. Look at Dupree right there. Stays with his guy. Like to see a little more from Jeremy Bernard. You know, these wide receivers get a little bit better at blocking on the edge. That's why you're still seeing guys like Emaan Henderson, I think, as early in games as you are. They're very willing and capable blockers. And so now it's a third and one for Alabama. You've got essentially four receivers to the field, three wide receivers, and Dupree there. This is just straight zone. Give it to Jam. Pretty good job there on the right side. Look at Jaden doing his thing at about the 18-yard line. Yeah, get behind that right guard. That would be my advice on third and one. Our third and goal from the one. So now you move into the fourth quarter, exactly 15 minutes left in the football game. Got Cole Adams and Jeremy Bernard going to work a bit of a rub game here. You getting some Hunter Renfrow reaction to this? Look at Cole. It's legal. Jeremy's working back to the corner. He's working a route. It's a pretty good ball from Jalen. The bottom line is it's third and four, and it's tight down here. So you're trying to get the ball out quickly and get it to your guy in space one-on-one. Cole does a nice job, ball on his back shoulder, makes a little move here, makes a guy miss, and then just an absolute fluke as you see him go down there with that right hand, it appeared. See it again right here. Cole in space, nice adjustment, man. Very nice. And then, unfortunately, what we'll see here, too, is right there. That didn't look that crazy, I thought, on the replay. But not what you want to see in that situation. So now you're in a third and goal. This is a little bit different, right? Going to go under center with Jalen. And this is 13 personnel, three tight ends on the field. Really, it's almost like 14 because Kendrick, the way you can use him, but you're wanting to hand him the football, which it kind of smelled like this based on the formation. And what you saw even pre-snap, everybody's still looking to the sideline like they're trying to get the call. And initially, Kendrick looked over there. And while he was looking, Jalen tried to give him the leg height to get him coming in motion. He didn't see it. Now the play clock starts running down. And Jalen hits it again. And it just looks like Jalen may be hurried coming out of here. Trying to get it to Kendrick Law there, and that didn't look good. Look at Kendrick, the shot he took. So there's the possibility that was a dead play regardless. Now, look, if it's a dead play and you don't fumble, then you can kick to make it a four-point game. But this is the double whammy, really, because you lose the football again, turn it over again. And this is an Alabama team that really, through two games, been pretty good in the red zone. This particular instance excluded because you haven't seen Graham Nicholson kicking field goals down here, have you? See him hit it twice? Do you see Jalen hit that hitch twice? And now here comes Law in motion. Just kind of looks like something you don't do a lot, you know? And it didn't go well here on the goal line. And there you see Kendrick just get jacked because that edge defender shot the gap there. You were going to be set up out here with your tight ends, but this dude, he shot inside there and just leveled Kendrick Law. And so it is a fumble. It is a recovery for South Florida. Let's see here. See the hands. He's in there pretty good. It just looks like maybe it went through his hands. Yeah. Ball got up there, though. It's not like the ball did not get up there. but you're not a big under center team. And I'm a big under center guy, especially in short yardage and goal line. But the exchange didn't work out right there. So Alabama defensively comes out, forces a three and out with 12 minutes left in the football game. It is a punt. Boy, how about Jalen Mbakwe stepping in for Cole after the injury? This looks like Jahlil Hurley, I think, right here, working against the gunner for South Florida. And Jalen is very decisive. Long snapper, no, not going to happen. Look at Q Robinson out there on special teams again. There's you've got some young players, 30, Caden Davis, Bray Hubbard out there. There's that mystery man, E-Man, number 10. We got to give him a name for number 10, like Terrence Teams, you know, for special teams Terrence or something. But Mbakwe does a nice job here on this punt return to give Alabama some excellent field position off a low driving punt. It was pretty much on a tee to return that based on the punt itself, but still impressive stuff from the true freshman from Clay Chalkville. So here is Jalen once again from the gun, slider coming across. It's going to be a keep. And so that's sort of that concept we were talking about earlier with the wide receiver and the tight end following. But now you've got Jalen. This is design run. This is kind of a give or keep. Quavis out in front. Ryan Williams out in front. Jalen's going to hit it. And that's a nice pickup. Nice first down run when Alabama really needed it in a one-point football game with about 11 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. So, third and six for Alabama. USF bringing four. Protecting with five. This is mesh on the crossers. See 80, see Ryan Williams crossing. That's mesh. And then you got the receiver behind it. But this isn't man coverage. And this is a man beater. Mesh is a man beater. And so you're essentially running mesh into zone. And you're getting early pressure once again on your quarterback. But Jalen does keep his eyes up once again. Finds his guy. It ultimately works out where your guy behind the mesh is still open enough against a linebacker for Jalen to rip it in there. Give Kobe Prentice a lot of credit. Plays through the contact right there. Gets into the end zone for a huge Alabama touchdown in the fourth quarter for a 21-13 lead. That's just playing football, man, because it isn't always going to work out. Okay, we got a man beater called because we're thinking they're bringing six. Or at least five. And then they don't, and they play zone behind it. See the linebackers sitting there across the hash mark, the hash mark. You got the crossers, they're not open. But then as Jalen keeps his eyes open and looks to the middle of the field, look what he sees. Nice stuff from Jalen Milroe. Maybe it helps explain some of the stuff these guys have to deal with, especially when you're getting pressure like that. I mean, that's nice. And then Prentice pays it off by getting into the end zone. And there is the host of The Bachelor, Jesse Palmer. Yeah. So Alabama now with an 8-point lead, 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And USF, can Byron Brown make enough plays to give this team a chance to win? And here comes, this looks like guard tackle, GT counter action. But that would be for the quarterback. And instead, a give to Naquan Wright. And again, the numbers just aren't good, man, in here. You know, you're kind of spread out. You got LT Overton out here on the edge. Is that Q that got pressure up the middle? But on the give, now you're light up there to the top. And, boy, you can tell Malachi Moore, somebody busted something. I don't know if it was because of the way they played it between the tackles and kind of left themselves exposed to the quarterback or the jet. Or, I mean, excuse me, the sort of sweep there to Naquan Wright, but not happy, Malachi. Third and goal now. 2x2, patented for USF and Alex Golish. And this is quarterback lead all the way. You can see Tim Keenan, some penetration, but looks initially like there's still a little bit of room to work. LT Overton gets there to close it off. Can't make the tackle. Big physical quarterback's going to take more than one guy, man. And eventually Alabama does get the stop there and forces a fourth and goal. And this is what's kind of crazy to me, is that you run there on third and goal. You're thinking, right, if you're an Alabama fan, there's no way they're kicking a field goal. They just ran the football on third and goal from about the 7 or 8. And look, you got nothing to lose. You're an animated, high-energy guy like Alex Golish. Certainly, you're going to go for it on fourth down from the 5. Nope. Going to take the 3. There you go. I think Alabama more than happy to give it to you right there, too. It is a 21-16 game now. Alabama in the lead. More split zone with Jam in there. Got a double there with Parker and Jaden. And now you're going to get some suddenness right here from Jam Miller. Look at this backer. Look where his eyes are. But then look at this hand right here. I think it's Vandermark. Jam's going to hit it on 2nd and 3 and rip off an explosive there. Elijah Pritchett in the game. Didn't get called for the hold there. It was kind of random on Saturday night, right? Some of those hands across the body and across the shoulders got called, both for South Florida and Alabama, but not all of them. So now Jalen with Elijah Pritchett in there at right tackle, look into the top of the screen, and here's the young guy again, man, one-on-one. What helps him, too, is because this corner has to give ground initially, he's got some time after the catch to get into what he wants to do after the catch. Like, if you can't threaten corners and make them give ground, you know, they're going to be another yard closer at the catch, maybe, you know? But it's still very impressive what you see from Ryan. I mean, that's sudden. You know, talk about just gone. And then you think, well, this guy, he's full speed. He can get there. But the balance and the coordination to play through that contact. If Ryan Williams smells the end zone, you can go ahead and pretty much count on it, can't you? And it's Hollywood. Once again, not just a touchdown, but an explosive play for a touchdown right here. Watch him get out of the catch. Zoop. Gone. There's a lot of things that you can coach. And Ryan Williams, by all accounts, is one of the most coachable young players you'll ever come across. But that right there, that came standard for a guy like Ryan Williams. That's the deluxe package, though. That's not the LS, okay? So now you got Byron Brown on a 4th and 7 for South Florida with 3:25 left in the game. This is what you wanted Byron Brown doing all night, standing in the pocket and throwing the football, because it's not something he does exceedingly well right now. 15-35 in the game, throwing the football. So you got a 4-man pass rush. Brown's going to cut it loose right here. And you're playing the sticks. See these guys right here dropping? But you got Kai that kind of matches up here in the middle of the field and is able to be enough of a presence that you get off the field on 4th and 7. So feeling really good about things, right? After the Ryan Williams touchdown, yeah, Alex Golish wants holding on the play. Again, we'll show it again. Receiver to the bottom of the screen is going to work the go. Kind of get some contact on this guy in the middle of the field, and then you're kind of sitting here on the sticks a little bit with Keon Sab over the top. Malachi, yeah. I mean, there's some contact there. Look at Bach, true freshman corner down here. Like I said, man, Kane, he just rolls them in. Crazy, but it's been good so far. So another 4th and 6th here after another Alabama touchdown. You had a couple of those rushing touchdowns, right, in the fourth quarter. Jam Miller, Justice Haynes, this is 4th and 6 with 1:51 to go. Sitting on the sticks again. Brown looking to the middle of the field. but just not much. It's kind of similar to the previous fourth down that we saw. Malachi takes away the middle of the field threat, and Alabama gets off the field once again on defense. Here you go. Here's Justice with the coup de grace. This is, I guess, yeah, this is just zone, I guess. Or no, you pulled Jaden from the right guard. There you go. Pulled both the guards. Vandermark, he's not really going to get out in front, but he's kind of taking care of any potential leakage there. You get Jaden out here at the top. Jaden right there does his job. Parker Brailsford got a couple of guys in there. Josh Cuevas, Elijah Pritchett. Watch Jaden running down the field here. Still hitting guys at the 3-yard line. And Justice Haynes gets into the end zone, and it is a 42-16 lead for the Alabama Crimson Tide. And with that, Alabama, everybody's happy now. Look at that. Yeah. Where are we going? Where are we headed? What's the plan? Where are we post-gaming, right? And that was going to do it. 42-16, Alabama gets the win. Not without struggle. Not the worst thing for this team, especially with what's on the horizon beginning this week with that road trip to Wisconsin. Also, we know, after the bye week following Whiskey, Georgia Bulldogs. You ready to get barked at? Yeah. You always look forward to that, don't you? But we're going to have plenty of coverage for you throughout the week and the days to come. Right there at Ryer on YouTube. Once again, if you haven't subscribed to our fledgling YouTube channel, Ryer on YouTube, we hope you'll do that right now. Hit that subscription button, that subscribe button. Hit that notifications bell while you're at it. That way you're alerted to all of our content as it drops. And if you wouldn't mind, give us a like as well. Always appreciate you joining us here on the channel. Again, look forward to catching up again in the coming days. And until next time, so long, everybody.